We have been slowly going through chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Our verse for today is going to be verse 7, but I'll start reading in verse 1 down to verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Or another way to translate the last verse would be, "always bears, always believes, always hopes, always endures." In Matthew chapter 22, a Pharisee comes to Jesus and he says, "What's the great commandment? What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." All of the law, all of God's law, all of God's commandments can be reduced, brought down to these two things: loving God and loving your neighbor. If I love God perfectly, and if I loved my neighbor perfectly, I'd never sin. I'd never sin. Think about it. If you love your neighbor, take the Ten Commandments. If you love your neighbor, why would you murder him? If you love your neighbor, why would you sleep with his wife? If you love your neighbor, why would you steal from him? And so forth. In Romans 13, Paul says, love is the fulfillment of the law. We're in 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. And the church in Corinth, one of the worst churches in the New Testament. One of the worst churches. What was their problem? Someone may say, well, their problem was that you had people in the church who were suing each other. Yeah, that was one of the issues. Someone may say one of the problems was that you had the rich in the church who could care less about the poor and wouldn't share even their food with them. Yeah, that's a problem. You can say, well, the problem in the church was that there were divisions. There were divisions concerning food. There were divisions concerning spiritual gifts. There were all these divisions. Yes, all those things are true. But we could take all of the problems in 1 Corinthians and bring it down to one thing, which is lovelessness. That they did not really love one another. And that's why this church was a mess. And this chapter, which I know people love, one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, chapter 13, the love chapter, is not an ode to love. It is a rebuke to a church that is not loving. And Paul is saying, this is what love is. This is what love looks like. This is what a loving person would act like, and that's not you. That's the point of this chapter. This chapter finds us right in the middle of a discussion on spiritual gifts. There were some in the church who had extraordinary gifts, like speaking in tongues, perhaps. Not perhaps. That was one of the issues. And those who had extraordinary gifts compared to those who had lesser gifts, at least that's how they viewed it, they thought, well, I must be favored by God. God must love me more, or I must be more spiritual than other people. I must be more mature than other people because I have this gift and they don't. And so Paul, in this chapter here, he started off, we've been going through this chapter for a few weeks now, and he started off this chapter by saying, I don't care how gifted a person is. You can have the most gifted person in the world, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. There's nothing special about you. And he goes on to then explain what love looks like. And we've seen that. We looked at verses 4 to 6. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not mean. Love is not boastful. It's not rude. It's polite. It's not selfish and so forth. And it sums it all up in verse 7 that we have for today, where he says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And as I mentioned, I think the phrase, well, obviously the emphasis of the verse is all things. But I think a better translation, and there are some translations that go this way, would be all the time, always. Love always hopes. Love always endures. And as we'll see, these four things, bears and believes and hopes and endures, they're very much connected with one another, and you'll see how they're very much connected. But especially faith and hope and bearing and enduring, those kind of, they're kind of couples, they go together. So we'll look at them in sets of twos. First of all, he says love, let's take the two in the middle, love always believes and love always hopes. Some people take this and they say, well, sure, if you love God, sure, you'll always believe in Him and you always hope in Him and so forth. But that's not what this passage is about. It's not directly speaking to our relationship towards God. This is about people in the church. This is about relationships between people, because the Corinthians could not get along. They had all these divisions. And so what does it mean between us? What does it mean when it says love always believes? Are you supposed to always believe in people? Sounds kind of unwise to some degree, because there are some people who cannot be trusted. Should you just believe everyone and everything that everyone says, just believe them? Love isn't dumb. Love isn't gullible. But I think what Paul is saying here is love is generous in its assessments of people. It's not suspicious all the time and hopes for the best, even when it has been disappointed in the past. There are some people or some situations that you'll look at and you'll be like, oh, that's a lost cause. There's no, that's just going to end up being one big mess. And someone will say, no, it'll be fine. They'll be fine. You're like, yeah, right. I know what that person is like, and they don't change. But when you love someone, there is a certain optimism, shall we say, about it. I see this most of the time in mothers. I see this most of the time in mothers. I've seen it in my mother and I've seen it in other mothers. What happens is, you'll see the child, you see something in the child and it's just, oh, it's just one big mess. And you don't have a lot of hope. But the mother will be like, no, it'll be okay. It'll be fine. They'll come back. This situation will fix itself. They'll be okay. Why? Why is she like that?
I'll tell you why. Because she loves her child and doesn't want to give up hope. Hope's the best. And you may say, well, that is kind of dumb. That is kind of gullible, because her love for the child is clouding her better judgment. She's not thinking right, because I can see clearly and there's no hope for that person. Well, what if there is hope for that person? What if she's not just being dumb and gullible? What if she believes that, you know what? With God, all things are possible. I read that somewhere. With God, all things are possible. God can change people's hearts. God can fix impossible situations. God works all things for the good of those who love Him. This doesn't mean that love is dumb. It's saying, I have seen God change people, and He can do it again. I have seen God take situations which are impossible and fix them. I have seen people who I had no hope for, and God saved them. If you don't love someone, you just give up. This can't be fixed. But when you love them, you always believe, and you always hope. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. He had a very difficult time with the Corinthians. Just read these books, and it's one big mess. And you know what he says in 2 Corinthians? He begins the letter, and he says, our hope for you is unshaken. Why? Because the Corinthians were so awesome? No. Because our God is awesome, and I hope and I trust that He can do something about this. And He can fix it. And this applies to all churches, not just the Corinthian church. Every church is a group of sinners. Every church. Redeemed sinners, but sinners nonetheless. And none of us are where we should be, as individuals or as a church. And you can look at the problem and say, this cannot be fixed. That's it. There's no hope. And you can just be negative and just be miserable about it and ungrateful and unthankful for all of it until it's all destroyed. Or you can be loving and say, God will keep us to the end. God, I have hope, and I believe that God can take the worst situation and get something good out of it. And so Paul says, love always believes. Love always hopes. And then he says, what's the first one and the fourth one? He says, love always bears, talking about bearing a load, and love always endures, perseveres. Now, you may say, well, these are identical. It's the same thing. Bearing something and enduring. Not exactly. And let me tell you what the difference is between the two. The first one, now I'm going to go to the Greek for this. The first one, where he says love bears all things, or always bears. The Greek word, it's interesting. The Greek word is stego, from stehi. What's a stehi? The roof. Okay? That's weird. But here's the idea. The idea is, the roof bears the load of the elements that are coming down upon you. The rain that is beating down on you. The wind that is beating against you. And it's there bearing what's coming down. Okay? That's the idea. Okay? So the roof is bearing against a heavy load that is coming upon it. The other word, which is endures, is the word hipomeno. Hipo means under, meno means to stay. It's similar, but it's more of the idea of about time. Of a length of time. How can I explain this? Alright, let me explain it in a different way. One is about how much weight I am holding. The other one is for how long I'm holding the weight. Right? Like when I go to the gym and I'm going to lift weight, I'm going to decide, am I going to lift heavy or am I going to lift light? Okay? I got two options. I can go heavy, which means what? I'll put a ton of weight and I'll go one, that was heavy. Oh, two, three, barely get to three because that was heavy. It was difficult for me to bear the load because it was so heavy. Or I can go light. And I can stop. One, two, three, four, five. Man, that was easy. Go up to 10. Oh, I can still go. 15, starting to get tired. 20, oh, starting to get shaky now. And by 25, I can't endure anymore. Why? Was it that heavy? No, it wasn't that heavy. But over time, it's difficult to handle it. And we have this kind of thing in relationships. You can have relationships where everything is fine and then something big happens. Someone says something or does something that is so outrageous, so offensive, bothers you so much that the relationship is ruined. Or you can have, there's never something huge, but it's little things all the time. All the time, for years, just chipping away at you. And then, at some point, you're like, I can't take this anymore. That's the long-term problem. So Paul says, love always bears the weight and always endures. Now, let me say this. Paul takes as a given, as a matter of fact, by saying this, he takes as a given that people are going to let you down. Otherwise, why do you need to endure? People are going to disappoint you. People are going to hurt you. Otherwise, why do you need to bear anything? Everything is fine. But Paul's point is, that's going to happen. So now the issue is, what are you going to do about it? That's going to happen. What are you going to do about it now? Because you can't control what other people are going to do. You can control what you're going to do. And love says, I'm not going to stop loving, even though things got difficult. I'm not going to stop loving, even though things got hard. Even though the load got very heavy. Because we set limits for what we're going to endure beforehand. I'm going to continue to love as long as it doesn't get too tiring. I will continue loving as long as it doesn't get too difficult. I will continue loving as long as it's not too uncomfortable. As long as it's not inconvenient. Because if it does, we're done. Paul says, always hopes, it always believes, it always endures, it tries. I was thinking about marriage vows. One of the marriage vows that we do in English speaking weddings is for better or for worse, right? I'll be with you, we'll stay together till death separates us, for better or for worse. Most people don't mean that. They mean I'll stay with you for better, not for worse. Because when things get bad, I'm leaving. Love always bears and endures. This doesn't mean you're a doormat that gets stepped on and you just, oh, yeah, just treat me badly and doesn't matter, I'll just live with it. What it means is, if a relationship is damaged, you don't say, that's it, give up, this can't be fixed. Oh, but they hurt me. Yes. What did Jesus say when Peter came and said, Jesus, when my brother offends me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? Seven is enough, right? Even seven is a lot. And Jesus says, no. 70 times 7. You keep on forgiving. Always. You keep on going. How long? How much? Forever. You don't give up. This person is a lost cause. Okay? Maybe. You don't know. Keep trying.
And again, I can't help but think of the Apostle Paul. I was like trying to think of examples. And I was like, the biggest example is staring us in the face in 1 Corinthians. Think of the relationship between the Apostle Paul and the Corinthian church. It's not just, if you take everything that the New Testament says, not just 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, if you look at everything that you can get from Acts and from other epistles, their relationship was constant friction for years, nonstop, all the time. Paul had, he started that church, he loved that church, and they didn't seem to love him back, and even though they should have. And he goes on other missionary journeys, he sends Timothy there to try and fix it, not fixed. He sends Titus to try and fix it, not fixed. He goes over there himself, not fixed, gets worse. He sends a letter, he sends a second letter, he sends a third letter. We don't have all the letters, we only have two. He sends one letter which he says was not the best thing in the world. They almost apostatized. They almost followed some false teachers instead of Paul. You would think Paul at some point will go, I've had enough of this church. I have, you know how many other churches I have to worry about? And I want to go to Spain. I want to go to Rome. I want to do all these things. And I have Corinth constantly. Just let them die and go to hell. But he doesn't do that. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he loved them. So he's always hoping and always enduring all this because he loved them and he kept on going. Here's the thing. You say, Nico, but how can we do this? When a young man says to a young lady, I love you, it's usually because he finds something in her that is lovely, that is lovable, and so he says, I love you. And the reason that we don't love each other is because we don't find something in others that is lovable. There is nothing worthy of love in that person, so I don't love him. There is nothing lovely about him, and so I don't love him. That's what we are like. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did God so love the world? Is it that we were just so lovely that God just couldn't help himself? Is that what it was? Were we just so beautiful? We were so amazing that God was like, just, oh. Or were we filthy, dirty sinners who hated him? There was nothing lovable about us, yet God loved us. Why? Why does God love us? Because it's in his nature. His love originates from himself. It doesn't depend upon the object. Because he is love. And that's not how we act. But if we are to love the way that God loves, we are to be a people that we don't just love others because, you know what? They're worthy of my love. No. That's not why God loves people. We are to love others because we have the Spirit of God inside of us conforming us to Christ. Make him like him. And the way that he loves that which is unlovely, we are to be loving towards others. So let's pray that God would help us.